Welcome to Season 2 of Convos with QVIC, a podcast where queer community leaders at the University of Victoria talk about their queer identities, coming out, resources for queer residents and students, and all things LGBTQ+ related. I'm Senior Community Leader Joe, and I'll be your host, along with a wide variety of special guest CLs. Before we get started, we just wanted to acknowledge and respect the Lekwungen peoples on whose traditional territory the University of Victoria stands on, and the Songhees, Esquimalt, and Wasanich people whose historical relationship with this land continues to this day, and also to recognize that we live, work, and play on unceded territory that is not ours. Hello and welcome back to Convos with QVIC. For our 12th episode, we're going to be talking about plus-size fashion in the bisexual and queer communities with special guest CL Sarah from the Lansdowne neighborhood.
Hello, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Good. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Sarah. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a fourth-year political science student here at UVic. I'm also a CL and a UVic leader. Today, we're going to be talking about plus-size queer women in the bisexual community and how it is very much underrepresented in the clothing industry.
Amazing.
So for me, I am a plus size queer woman who could technically be called bisexual, but has a couple of things about why she doesn't identify with that. One of them being that I do not fit the aesthetic that is associated with being a feminine person in the bisexual community. So basically a lot of being bi for many people is dressing your fashion then. So whether that be cuff jeans, frog hats, thrifted clothes, it's very much not accessible to many women. So for me, like, finding clothing is a struggle, is hard enough, but fitting into an aesthetic that, like, is very, very much, like, for people who are straight thighs, it doesn't work out in my favor.
No, I 100% get that. I am also a plus size woman, person who is bisexual. And I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the fashion that we associate with being bisexual is found at thrift stores. And with Peace and Love, thrift stores don't have a lot of plus size options, whether that be from straight sized people buying that and then recycling it or upcycling it and making it into something that's accessible for them, or the clothing just being absolutely fucking ugly.
Oh, garbage.
Like,
you have to search so much to find, like, I cannot buy a pair of women's jeans.
Oh,
but
no.
They will be grandma jeans. If I want jeans, I have to look in the men's section.
Yeah, like, unless I want my nipples to touch the edge of my pants, there's no possible way for me to find pants at a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, like, even just, like, looking at a lot of what we consider to be, like, fashionable,
mm-hmm,
is not accessible. You don't find those things at stores for people who are
impressive. What kind of things?
So a lot of Y2K fashion is back in trend, and it's been very much picked up by the bisexual community or like the gay community. And, like, unfortunately, like, I don't feel comfortable in the lowest rise jeans. I love my FUPA. She is here. She is very visible. She does not need to be shown in that light to the world. On top of that, like, a lot of the clothing is literally just not made for us. I also think a part of, like, the bi community that a lot of people glaze over is the sustainability side. So, like, it's kind of this expectation to be, like, in demand or, like, thrift shops and very sustainable lifestyles. So, like, are you vegetarian? Oh, you know, like, those questions. However, like, even just clothing in general for people who are plus size is not sustainable. I saw a TikTok recently of a fashion person who runs a shop, and they said, like, a majority of their clothing they try to find sustainability. So sustainable cotton, blah, blah, blah. And a majority of the, like, producers of those clothing only go up to a 2X. And then afterwards, she said she has to find, like, specifically sustainable plus size clothing brands.
Which is so expensive.
Yes.
You know?
So then there's that other option too. Like, a majority of this is also super expensive. I unfortunately cannot afford to, like, buy a $300 pair of jeans because they're sustainably made in my size. The only place that I have literally found that makes sustainable jeans in my size. It's $300 and it's in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I'm not from Vancouver. So like, yeah. How would I actually get there? And I also think like part of it creates this huge like socioeconomic gap. Mm. It highlights plus size fashion versus street size fashion.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. Yeah, it's just not as much as available for us. And I feel like parts of the bi culture is so much like what you wear. It's like, ooh, I know that girl's bisexual because she's wearing this like X, you know? And I don't know, for me, I absolutely love fashion. Like, you know how much like fashion is one of my like passions. I find it just so interesting. Just, I love dressing in a way that just makes me feel good. And it can be so hard. And I know for me, like I sew, so I make the vast majority of my clothes so I can replicate those kind of fashions myself just because I can sew. I remember maybe 2-3 years ago, there was this like skater skirt that I've been wanting, and I was looking for it for probably 2 or 3 years already at that point, because there's one specific style that all of the bisexual girls are wearing when I was in like grade 11, 12, you know? And I was like, I need the skirt, but like could not find anywhere. And so I ended up just having to make it myself, and I absolutely love it. I still have that skirt and I wear it all the time, but like the fact that I had to go out of my way to make it myself so that I could have the same fashion that straight size queer women get to wear was just like super annoying. And I feel so bad for the other like plus size queer women, or even like non-binary, all of the jazz people, is that just like they don't necessarily have that opportunity to make their own clothes or even afford to make their own clothes. Like making your own clothes is also really, really freaking expensive.
I totally agree. Like I remember growing up, like I used to love fashion, and like I dress pretty average, I would say. I'm not super fancy when it comes to it, but like even growing up, finding shoes in my size or finding pants suck. I remember just like even clothing experiences, like the amount of times somebody's been like, that looks flattering on you, immediate red flag. I do not buy that clothing item, it makes me feel so small. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that even, but specifically shoes, like it took me so long to buy even like Doc Martens. Yeah. For example, I have one pair, or I have two pairs. One I got because I needed fancy dress shoes for work. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to buy shoes that I wouldn't wear elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I bought low rise Doc Martens because they were black and they were fine and they worked. And the other pair were hand-me-downs from my mom because she found them and then they just didn't work for her. But yeah
and I've been wanting a pair of Docs for like quite a while, but I have a pair of Blundstones already, and I feel like one expensive pair of nice shoes is all I can do at one time, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it makes it super tough. And like, you know, that pair of like heels that I've been like looking at for literally forever, I have not bought them yet, but it's just like stuff like I'm always worried, like, are they gonna like run smaller to size? And I have chubby feet, and then I'm never gonna be able to wear them. Because like I have so many shoes, and especially like nice shoes, like low heels, like I love a good low block heel, but I'm just like, I'm always like, or they'll just like, they'll run up to a size 10. Like most stores, they'll just run up to a size 10 in shoes. And both myself and Sarah are size 11. And so it's like, it screws us over in so many ways, you know?
So many ways. Oh my God. Yeah. And like, you know what? The only time I've ever really been able to find clothes that are super creative and super like fun was at Forever 21.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to the Canadian Forever 21s. Mm. You are so bad for the environment. However, like genuinely, that was the last time I remember finding clothes that made me feel like I could be a part of the community, because it was like fun clothing. Mm. And like
finding a decent plus size section. Like it was really well done.
Yeah. And like finding clothing now, I'm pretty much like, my main stores are H&M, and I'm lucky because I fit into H&M. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I teeter whether or not. Old Navy and Pennington's. Mm-hmm. And Old Navy and Pennington's, with peace and love, tend to fly either like athletica or like business casual.
And like we're, what, 2021? Like sometimes business casual is not what you want, and it's also not bisexual fashion at all, you know?
You know, as much as I love a good pantsuit, I don't know if that's the most me outfit out there.
Yeah.
So what I end up wearing a lot is like leggings and sweaters. sweaters and vests or like jeans and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And like, although I like it, although it's fun, it's just not, it's not a part of what you would call a bisexual person. Mm-hmm.
If you could and they made like the clothes for it, what kind of bisexual style would you wear?
I really like, you know, the really cute artsy girls. Mm. You know?
Okay, describe an ideal fit for me.
Okay. I really want to do like the black, like low rise Doc Martens, which I have those fluffy little frilly socks, straight legged, brown, like textured pants. And then I would love like a, like, okay, also graphic tees are something we need to talk about after, but like mm-hmm. a good graphic tee mm-hmm. that doesn't make me look like I'm in a box. And then always like a little overcoat, like button down open, so like green.
Yeah.
And then like a cute ass coat, brown or green or like yellow, mustard mm-hmm. yellow. And then they always have like good makeup and like mm-hmm. a little bandana. Although like I might be able to piece that together, I'll never look exactly that because like there's nothing.
Exactly. There. Yeah, no, I get that. For me, like cottagecore 100%, yeah. You know it. But yeah, I don't know. I think every single one of my cottagecore dresses I have made, like 100%. Like yeah. There's no dispute about that. Just because, yeah, like I don't even know where I would buy cottagecore style dresses. I feel like all of them are online and like those, oh, kind, what are they called?
Sketch stores.
Kind of sketchy stores that are
like dolls,
child labor in China, like kind of vibe, you know?
Cider and yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Totally. And then like, I cannot shop online. No.
Shein? Oh gosh.
Yes.
That place, like there's something about, I will never buy from there. I don't blame anyone mm-hmm. who does, but there's just not something I would ever be able to do.
Well, exactly. Bad for the environment, bad for labor. But like also, I don't know, I just like, I very much need to know how something is going to fit me first, because like I have very specific measurements. I have a small waist compared to my ass. And so, like, I need to know what it's going to look like. And so, yeah, I just can't do online. And so for me to follow a more cottagecore kind of style, like, I have to make my own clothes. I get it. I can just adjust clothes because I know how to sew. But, like, if I'm buying a piece of clothing, I want it to fit me. I don't want to have to spend a couple hours altering it, you know, even if I can sew.
Exactly. Yeah. I go shopping with Joe or, like, other friends. And sometimes you'll try on stuff. Like, specifically straight size people, this annoys me. Mm-hmm. Because they don't realize they're doing it. They'll offer to help you mend it in a way that'll fit your body.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the point.
It's not the point.
It's not the point. I want, if I'm spending, you know, X amount of dollars on something, mm-hmm. and I assume it's more expensive because it's plus size as well, I don't want to spend money or like time and effort putting into like mending it or changing it so it looks better on me. Exactly. I would rather just like make clothing or like buy clothing, you know, not that I can make clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell me your beef with plus size graphic tees.
Oh my god, plus size graphic tees. They either go like a Christmas tree vibe. They're super small in the corners and then they go super wide in the hips. Mm. And it's just like, okay, number one, why do you expect me to have zero shoulder but so much ass? And then like sometimes they'll like go into your armpits, yeah. you know, and we'll make it here. But then I also hate it because like a majority of like when you go to like a concert or something, they'll have like women's graphic, not the clothing is gendered, but like women's graphic tees and then men's graphic tees. But all of the like plus size graphic tees come in men's.
Yeah.
So then I'm getting like a 1X or 2X men's, and then it has this awful like box shape with like 4 inches of extra fabric at the bottom. And it's like, if I wanted a graphic dress, then I would love this. But then it's also like somehow still too small, but also really long. And then like,
well, and I feel like even just the designs are like kind of crappy. Like you don't get the variety of getting to pick what you want in your graphic tee. It's like you're confined to like weird ass pictures or like dumb sayings that don't even make sense, you know?
or like wool.
Yeah.
Wolves, you know, t-shirts. If I fucked with wolf t-shirts, I would be living my life, my best life. But like, also, like, I am 21. I don't want a wolf t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Pop off if you do, though.
Respect to all of those who wear them wolf t-shirts. However. That's not bisexual fashion.
No.
Maybe it will be in 5 years and then we'll be good to go, but exactly. I really don't foresee that.
No. Mm-mm. No. And I think we also should be talking a little bit about undergarment. I don't know if you've ever tried to find a bra. It doesn't work.
Nope.
So I find like that is also frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, and you wear a lot of sports bras because of that. And yeah. I don't wear bras because of that.
Yeah. So about my titties, they are double D's, but I have a 42 band size because of where my boobs are placed on my body.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is I either have 2 inches in or 2 inches out of cup that just doesn't catch anything. Mm-hmm. And then it just is super uncomfortable. And like that also doesn't help because like what ends up happening is I'm constantly in a sports bra. Mm-hmm. And then like can't wear those cute cut low cut shirts. No, no. You know? Like they don't have anything then to help you. And if they do, they're ugly, they're expensive, and for some reason always padded as if I want more boobs.
So padded.
Yeah. I think there's also like the expectation when coming like in the plus size clothing industry that you will have an ass and you will have titties. Mm-hmm. And I have neither.
I mean, but have titties.
Yeah, but like not the same way that like somebody who would be like a small generally has double D titties.
Okay, that's true. Like, I don't know, for me, I'm either a 40A or a 38B, and generally people don't even make those type of bras. My titties are far too small for my rib cage. Yeah. Like, they physically just do not make them. And like, it got to the point where I wore bralettes most of the time because like, I don't really need the support. But I was just like, so I just stopped wearing bras because I'm like, hey, fuck it. Like at this point, but I do want a cute bra sometimes, you know? Yeah. Like I want to look cute and like, yeah, no, I can't find anywhere.
Exactly. So like the whole industry doesn't allow us to dress in anything properly. Also, sorry, we forgot one quintessential part of being plus size.
Yes.
Is that if you are a millennial woman and you sell Airbond and you have a husband and his name is Chris, there's so many options for you. So if I want to, so if you catch me out here looking like I run an MLM, it's not me.
Oh my god.
It's true. You know, like the big hat,
yeah,
the jeans, the leopard print. Oh, the leopard print you can find.
It really, so much animal print.
Animal print. Bejeweled animal print.
And I get zebra is really in with bisexual fashion, but like.
Or cow.
But like, you know, not for me.
Circling back to like, then how do you, as a plus size person who also like men, women, and in between, like how do you express that to the world?
Yeah, how do you communicate you're queer?
I either have to tell people or they think I'm straight.
Damn.
I had a really good friend of mine who knew I was in Cubic last year. We were playing badminton and I was like, yeah, I want to get a tattoo of like this beautiful ass woman because I like women. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you like women? And I was like, sir, I've literally talked about being in Cuvette. And he was like, oh, I thought straight people could do that. And I was like,
it's like, what?
What? So it literally took me physically, like, outing myself for people to actually look at me as a queer person.
Yeah. And even then, you're almost just seen as a straight person who occasionally likes women.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well.
Yeah, because, like, I don't have the options to fit in the clothing, and I don't portray myself the world that I wish I could. I'm seen as this, like, anomaly, basically.
Yeah.
Which is fun sometimes.
Well, and just, it doesn't even make sense because being queer has absolutely nothing to do with the way you dress, but we have placed so much importance on that in the queer community that like if you are not dressed like a queer person, or if you're like quite femme as a queer woman, non-binary, etc. person, then like people are just gonna assume, and it's like that's not your place to assume at all.
No. Also just like it's hard too, because like, you know, for me, like using Tinder or like even the thought of like asking a girl out, like I don't know if they'll look at me and think that I'm trying to experiment or like or if this is legit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could go out of my way and purchase items of clothing that would make me part of it. But, like, does that make me any less queer than I am right now? Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
Do you have any advice that you'd give to, like, young, queer, plus size people who are, like, struggling with their, like, fashion identity?
Honestly, dress however you want to. If business casual is how you best feel, then do that. If you want to dress Y2K in low-rise jeans and let that fupa hang out, more power to you. Honestly, send me pictures. I need it. But, like, honestly, also, like, don't let people place you in a box of, like, this is how you're supposed to be. I felt that for a really long time. Like, you had to be a specific way in order to be a part of a community, when in reality, like, your community is there to accept you. And I don't think I've ever had anybody look at me and go, oh, well, you're not queer enough. I'm sure people have thought it, but, like, I've never personally had that experience also.
Yeah.
And if you have, fuck them. Just know, like, you have at least two people on this couch who definitely believe in you. Mm-hmm. I think, like, too, if you are a UVic student and listening to this and you're struggling with being queer, you're a resident on campus, obviously come out to QVic. Mm-hmm. We are very secretive, so don't worry. No one will ever know that you were there. Or if you want people to know you were there, be known. There's a couple other cool ones. UVic Gem. I don't think we talk about enough.
I've genuinely never heard of them before.
UVic Gem is Gender Empowerment Center.
Okay.
It is for women and non-binary people. And honestly, it looks like they run some super, super sick programs.
Okay.
On top of that, we also have the Transgender Chair Society. They they run some cool programs. And if you are struggling with your mental health or anything related to that, please reach out to a professional. Yeah, basically, there's some resources, and please reach out.
Mm-hmm. If you want to talk fashion anytime, just find someone named Asiel Joe and hit me up. I will spend hours talking to you about fashion.
On top of that, you can see them walking around in a super fashionable coat. It says staff on the back. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening to us ramble.
Thanks so much, Sarah, for coming in with us.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to Convos with QVic. Make sure you come back to check out our next episode. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, please let anyone on the QVic staff know, either in person for UVic residents at our events, which are run from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sundays in the RUG, or message us on our Facebook or Instagram pages. See you around campus.